abandon free market principles to save the free market system.
In a world of conventional confusion,
There will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine. And let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Prepare to unshackle your mind.
An idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by any army or any government.
Your professor has arrived. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It's Thursday, February 27th, 2014, and we're talking with Josh Taylor of Blimey Cow today. If you haven't heard of Blimey Cow, don't worry. I hadn't heard of them either as of a couple of years ago, and then I found out about them. And I realized I was like you and me were like the last two people in the world who hadn't heard of them, apparently. But they are such an impressive group of three people who make videos. We'll talk about it. I don't want to give away the punchline here, but let's just say they have been tremendously successful making videos that spread important messages, but in absolutely unforgettable ways. And you can tell from the title of this episode just how extensive their success has been. I'm going to let Josh tell us how many video views they've had. Now, you already know that, knowing the title of the episode, but it's still fun to hear it again. How many video views they've had, how many YouTube subscribers they've had, and how they did it. It's an incredible story of what the internet makes possible, that they were able to go from ground zero to tremendous success, pretty much just on their own efforts, reaching an audience they would never have been able to reach without the internet. It's such a great story. In fact, when I was looking to do a promotional video for my libertyclassroom.com, which, of course, if you're a cool person, you've already joined that. But libertyclassroom.com, of course, you all know the idea is that you learn stuff that you wouldn't learn otherwise. You learn in courses that are taught by people who aren't the typical college professor. They're truth-telling college professors. So I had them do a video for me. I immediately thought, well, have Blimey Cow make a video for me, promoting it. And so I've got one of the people in the video acting like a typical Obama supporter. He's got an Obama shirt on, and he's just going on, droning on Obama talking points. And the other guy's standing there going, oh, wish I knew how to refute this. Then he goes, joins Liberty Classroom. By the end of the video, he's just crushing the guy in debate. That's exactly what I wanted. And that's what Blimey Cow delivered. Well, enough of me talking. Let's turn now to Josh Taylor. Josh, thanks for being here today.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me, sir.
All right. We've got some interesting topics to cover here. I want to start first by giving the statistics here for your Blimey Cow YouTube channel. So I want you to tell us how many subscribers you have and how many video views you have. And then the other statistic I want you to give is how much money have you spent on this over the years? If you don't mind telling me, an estimate.
Sure. Well, we've got a quarter of a million subscribers on YouTube now, and we have 35 or so million video views, and I think overall, now granted, we've launched a couple of Kickstarter campaigns for things we wanted to fund. So some of the money that came in, we spent right back out.
Yeah.
But I would guesstimate we've probably spent no more than about $20,000 or $25,000.
Okay. And how much of that did you raise with Kickstarter?
Let me think. I think probably about $20,000 or $25,000.
Okay. Okay. So I mean, in other words, you basically did this in terms of your own out-of-pocket expense on a shoestring, right?
Yeah. I mean, when we got started, we hadn't spent more than $2,000.
Yeah, and it basically just buying equipment and getting the hang of it and stuff?
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to have to link in the show notes to at least a few examples of your videos and then to the channel itself so people get a sense of what you're doing. Although I wonder if maybe at the end here, now, you know what? No, I was going to put audio of it, but people have got to see you guys. And they've got to see the facial expression. It would do you a disservice. But I want people to know exactly what it is you guys do. So first, just explain, what you've been doing, especially over the past few years, every Monday, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the show is called Messy Mondays, and we've done a new episode every single Monday since August of 2011. We've had our channel since long before then, but that was kind of what really launched our channel. We decided to get serious about it. So we've done that for about 2.5 years or so now. And basically, it's what you would call a video log or a vlog-style video. It's just a black background. We just have a black bed sheet. And up until a week or two ago, we actually had been shooting them in my brother's bedroom at my parents' house, which is, where my brother is living currently. And basically, he's the host of the show. And we just pick a different topic every week. And, I mean, our audience is, in general, teenagers, but sometimes, older people watch and sometimes younger people. But, I mean, we'll talk about just different random things, Dr. Woods, like relationships or, you know, things relating to the Internet. Sometimes we touch on politics. But the overall idea of the show is kind of that there's so many, when it comes to media, there's so many voices trying to tell you exactly what to think. But our show is kind of more designed to ask questions and to get you thinking. So instead of telling you what to think, we're just asking you just to think for yourself. And so we'll get feedback from time to time from people saying, you know, why do you raise these topics and not give us your thoughts or your answers on the topic? And we're like, no, we want you to think about it for yourself instead of thinking, you know, that someone else needs to do that for you. So that's basically the idea of the show, and it's goofy and it's fun. It's done to look very quick and speedy and fast paced. So we've had good success, and we continue that show, and we're hoping to start new shows in this year. But that's the main one that takes most of our time.
Now, I love these videos. I find them laugh out loud funny. I love because they're also very insightful, and you have been controversial in some cases. It's not all just the sort of thing you've been. I think in some ways you're doing yourself an injustice in describing it the way you do. I mean, now you've covered all the topics that you mentioned. That's true, but you also have taken on some very, very tricky subjects that you have to do with a scalpel rather than a sledgehammer, and yet with a kind of slapsticky approach, you're nevertheless able to take a scalpel to things like reflexive nationalism, to things like the habit people have of finding out 3 sentences worth of some cause on the Internet, and suddenly they're all for this cause, right? I stand for this cause, and it's just, it's incredibly annoying and irritating, and you guys take it on so, so effectively. Now, you guys, though, or at least you certainly, you specifically, I know you are a Ron Paul guy, and I wonder, is that how did I get to know about you guys in the first place? Did it have to do with the Ron Paul campaigns were going on, and I got to know you then? How did I know you were a Ron Paul guy?
You know, I'd followed you for a long time. I really liked the way you presented your ideas. I hadn't found anybody that was quite like you that had the views you did, and you were very funny about it. Like you had a sense of humor. You had a snark to you, and I just really enjoyed that. So I followed your stuff, and at some point, you know, we started doing our show. And I felt like I was like, you know, this is the kind of thing that Dr. Woods would enjoy. So I started just shooting you the video clips from time to time. And at some point, you finally wrote back to me and just said, man, I can't believe I'm finally just seeing this stuff, which meant a lot to me. So.
Yeah, I know. When I looked at how many views you guys had, I thought, what am I, in a cave? Like, what am I, the last person on Earth to find out about these people? Now, but before we get into, though, I mean, I want to talk about how you went from... No, I mean, I'm sure you guys weren't natural. You weren't like a media major in college. It wasn't like you knew how to use cameras or anything, right?
I actually did study mass communications in college.
Oh, okay.
But the school I went to, it was local. They had a small program for video at the time. It's expanded now. But I actually went for the audio portion of it. But so yes and no to yes to the intent of your question.
Because I had Julie Borowski on this show, and I felt like her videos look like FreedomWorks is doing them for her. Like, I thought that they were assigning her a cameraman, and they were doing the backdrops and the graphics and whatever. She's just doing that. She just figured it out. She got a camera. She sits in front of a white background, and that's it. I mean, so it's interesting to see that this is possible. And that's really why I want to have you talk about this. But before you do that, I'm just curious, how can you be funny on command? Like, it must be a tremendous amount of pressure every week to feel like every single week we've got to be funny. We've got to think of a topic we haven't covered in the 8 zillion episodes we've already done. I mean, do you ever, I mean, first of all, how do you do that? Yeah, let's start there. How do you do that?
You know, I mean, that's, it's, I wouldn't say that we're always funny, but, you know, there, you can have a perspective on things that gets people to kind of, you can have a light perspective on things. So even if we are kind of talking about a, you know, we've done like 130 episodes of the show, so no matter what we talk about, we're going to kind of be treading on ground that we have sort of kind of already talked about. That's just kind of inevitable. So I struggle to say, yeah, we're funny all the time or whatever, but, you know, there is like a talent and a skill that you kind of acquire after you do something over and over, which for us is just doing the show over and over, where you kind of just get into the groove of, okay, what kinds of things do people think are funny, and how can we kind of pursue those kinds of things and get people to laugh? Because there will be weeks, you know, where I think our show is, like, hilarious, and there will be other weeks where I'm like, well, I think people will think this is funny. I don't really necessarily think this is that funny, but I know other people will enjoy it. So a lot of it just comes from just creating content consistently and kind of honing in on that skill.
Now, how do you account for this unbelievable success? I mean, it's easy for us to say to people, you too can have a successful YouTube channel, but look, if I had 10 lifetimes, I couldn't get 35 million video views. So, I mean, is there for one thing, people shouldn't feel like they can't do it because they don't have any experience with cameras or the technical end. Does that, I mean, certainly in this day and age with the fairly user-friendly editing software and the cameras are not that hard to use, that's certainly not an obstacle, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this is the best, I always tell people, this is the best time in the history of the world to be in the business of wanting to create content. I mean, in the history of the world, there's never been a time like this where there's so many options so cheaply available to do that. So, you know, if people want to get into this kind of, like, media creation, content creation, this is the time to do it. And you're exactly right. You shouldn't feel limited by your lack of skills. Because, like I was saying, you know, it's just about, like, setting a schedule for yourself and just saying, you know, whether it's a blog you want to start. Like, I know you talk to people all the time about starting blogs, or you want to maybe create a podcast, or you want to do videos on YouTube. Just doing it consistently, saying, okay, every once a week or once a day or whatever schedule you feel comfortable with, that will still challenge you, just commit to creating content on that day consistently. And if you do that, even at the times when it's hard or you don't feel like doing it or you don't feel motivated or creative enough to do that, if you just stay with it and fight through those times, because, I mean, you know, with our show, there'll be, you know, I'll go like a month where I don't feel like I have anything to say, but just the act of doing it consistently gets you through those times. And, you know, with, like, there's something kind of magical about giving yourself a deadline, because we all, if you're into creative content, I'm sure you've had this too, where you've got a deadline, and because you have that deadline, that kicks your mind in the gear, even if it's like a last second panic, that you have to get something done. So something about creating a deadline for yourself is really imperative when it comes to content creation.
Now, what about the equipment somebody would need? Now, because I want to get a sense of what you guys are using.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the audio is really good. You're clearly not using, thank goodness, the microphone that's built into the camcorder. I mean,
No.
So let me just give you a sense of what I've got. I've got a lapel mic that I use. For the show, I use this big, giant Tonight Show-style mic that Peter Schiff bought me so I can host his show. I use it for the podcast. Also, I have a Pro-Am sort of camcorder, which is, you know, right, it's kind of straddling the fence between super great,
yep,
and okay. Because my videos, I mean, that's probably overkill for my videos, just me sitting at a desk. So what are you guys, like, I don't even see a microphone, but obviously you're using something somewhere. How is that all,
yep,
working? What do you guys have?
Yeah, it's called a shotgun microphone. The specific mic we use that I actually recommend to people all the time is the Rode NTG-1. And, if anybody wants to get in contact with me or whatever and email me, you know, I can give you a list of the equipment. But I've looked around a lot. I've researched a lot. And there are ways, I mean, you can get started doing like video that looks professional, like as good as most stuff on YouTube, for around $1,000 or even under that. But the audio is a Rode NTG-2, NTG-1, I'm sorry. And it sits maybe like 6 inches or a foot away from where the talent is speaking, and just points in their direction. And so that's the audio end. And I would a lot of people worry so much about their video quality, but I would say that audio quality is actually more important than video quality. Because when it comes to YouTube, people will forgive video quality to some degree because they understand that it's hard to make videos look good. But when it comes to audio, even if it's subconscious, if it sounds echoey or there's, you know, it's got that ambient, that gnat sound in the background, that kind of whooshing sound, and it just sounds like it's being recorded like in a vacuum somewhere, it just gives off this idea that like whoever released the content didn't really put enough time into it. Even if that's not the case, that's the impression that's given off. So I would say that, you know, content is the most important thing, then audio, and then video is the last thing. And for video, I would suggest any number of Canon cameras. They have it's called a T3i, and it's a relatively cheap. I think you can get it for like $500 or so used. Sometimes it's on sale for that price, but I mean, that's a great mic. I mean, a great camera. Whatever you said you use, I mean, you get great output from that camera too.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. I didn't know how to really use it. Like the first few videos on my channel that are original videos and not just speeches that somebody else recorded are not very good. I forget exactly what the setting was that I had it on, or it wasn't quite right, but little by little, you know, they've gotten to be really good. My key problem though is with lighting. So I want to ask you about that, cuz for whatever reason, the types of furniture that I have brown office furniture, you know, just regular wooden sort of office furniture, and for some reason it seems to really absorb light, so you need to throw so much light on that, so I have to throw the light on it without making me look like a ghost, and that's very, very tricky. You have to really, really work at it to get the lights exactly the way you want them, and then no one's allowed to come in the room and touch them. Like, it's exactly... And yet, in your lighting, looks perfect. How do you get the lighting to look so good so that the lighting is great, so the background is pitch black, and yet the individual figures on the screen are just perfect?
Well, you need to have your subject. So in your case, it would be you, or in our case, my brother. You need to have them away, basically kind of away from whatever is in the background. Because if you're close to a wall or the back of your desk or whatever, wherever you're shooting, everything is going to start looking kind of blown out. But if you can move the subject closer to the camera and away from the background so that, the background is kind of out of focus a little bit, it just kind of gives it that movie feel. But I know a lot of people, you know, they don't have the room for that kind of thing. I know we struggle with that too, because of the space we were shooting in. So the general rule for light, it's a three light rule, and I mean, you can look it up online, just like look up a lighting setup or whatever. It's just you need one light. It's basically a triangle you create. You have a light that's behind the subject, and then two lights coming from either side. And one of them shoots directly at the subject, and another one fills out the entire space. But the general idea is you need light on everything, but then you need the subject to be brighter than everything else. We've been using Home Depot lights, and this is what I suggested to Julie when I chatted with her recently, too. Just go get some fluorescent lights from Home Depot and just get some of those work light, those clamp lights that they sell really cheap. And then just put some kind of like paper, like tape some paper to the front of it so that it gets rid of shadows. Because, you know, if you shoot too many lights at something, it's going to create shadows behind it. But if you diffuse it with a white piece of paper of some kind, it gets rid of a lot of the shadows, especially if you have lights coming from a couple of different directions. People really freak out about lighting and stuff, and I know I did for a long time, but lighting is not that complicated. If you can just sit down for a day and really just play with it and have the time to do that, you can set yourself up. And you know, like you were saying, you know, you don't want people to touch your lights once it's set up correctly. That's just a rule. You know, once you get it good, you don't want to play with it anymore. But you can make it look good, and I think your lighting looks really good. Whatever you ended up getting set up, it looks great.
Yeah, after 2.5 years of fiddling with it, I got it the way I wanted.
No, it looks good.
Yeah, thanks. All right, let's see. What else do I want to talk to you about? You have a new podcast every couple of weeks. What is the podcast about? And what's it called? Well, does it have a name?
Yeah, well, we do two currently. We've got one coming up. We're about to start. That might actually be of interest to anybody who's interested in kind of what we're talking about here. But we do one show that's kind of just us just chatting about life and stuff. It's just called the Blimey Cow Podcast. Second one we do is called the Fellowship Gamer, and it's just a show where we review board games. Like, come on, I'm a big board gamer. I love board games. And the third one we're about to start very shortly. It's called The Inner Tube, and it's just kind of about the inner workings of YouTube. And I'm starting it with my friend Kevin. And we're basically just going to talk about, like, everything you need to know about creating content for the Internet. So YouTube, what else is there? YouTube, podcasting, blogging, you know, anything like that. That's the kind of stuff we're going to cover. That's going to be a weekly show.
All right. So do you have a single kind of clearinghouse site where everybody can follow everything you're doing, the podcast, the YouTube channel, et cetera?
Yeah, absolutely. If you check out just joshjamestaylor.com, I've got all my links on there. I just kind of set that up. I'm going to kind of expand on the site a little bit more, but it's at least got all the links and everything. You can email me if you have any questions about any equipment or anything. I love talking to people about YouTube, and I hate that people are so afraid to start channels and stuff because, you know, I know this is a big point you like to drive home. You know, we need more people putting out, like, good messages out there in the media culture, and you know, unfortunately, a lot of the people that figured it out are, you know, not the best people. So
right.
So you know, like people like you who you know, you kind of debunk myths. I love your podcast here, where you don't necessarily talk about whatever happens to be in the news that day. You kind of talk more about, like, ideals and principles and things like that. That's why I love this podcast more than, you know, any other that relates to kind of news and things like that. But, you know, people get so afraid of starting content because they think that it's not going to be that good. But the only way to get – or that they don't have formal training. But the only way to get good with content creation on the Internet is just to do it.
And,
you know, you just have to do it and just say, I'm gonna just start doing this consistently. And, you know, in 2 or 3 months, you'll look back and you won't even want to listen to the stuff you did 3 months ago because you'll have improved so much and you won't believe how far you came so quickly. So to anybody listening to this that has ever thought about doing, you know, YouTube or podcasting or blogging or anything that hasn't done it, just try it. Like, if you have a passion inside of you to do that stuff, you got to do it. Don't worry about criticism. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Just start putting your message out there.
Yeah, I think of my first, I don't know, 10 or 15 episodes is like the vintage episodes, right? If you really want to get the raw show, then you go back and listen to the old sound quality before we sort of got the hang of it. And, you know, you're right about just going ahead and doing it. I mean, I think this program has gotten to the point where it sounds fairly polished. Like, it may even sound like I really know what I'm doing and I've been doing this a long time and we've got really neat opening music and closing music and all that, But you know what? I do all that. And I didn't make the intro. The Peter Schiff people did that for me, and I'm eternally grateful to them for that. But basically, I do this. You know, you and I talk, and then I fiddle with it. I insert the music at the beginning. So I'm not when you hear me talking at the beginning, I don't hear any music. I'm talking into nothingness, and then I add the music in later. I cut out the end part where I say, "Hey, that was a great conversation you and I just had." And I put in my I do all that myself. And I'm just getting the hang of this myself, or making videos. Like, what do I know about making videos? I just sat there and did it. And it's not like I have a staff that comes in and makes. If I need to make a video, I get my remote control. I turn that camera on myself. I use Sony Vegas Movie Studio to edit it myself. I do it all myself. Now, let me ask you this, though, before I let you go. And maybe you'll feel I'm putting you on the spot, and I'm sorry about that. But I'm telling you, man, if I don't get this said out in public, then maybe I'm not going to get you to get up off your rear end and do it. But you've got 35 million YouTube views. I mean, that's unbelievable. And you have a quarter of a million subscribers. So in some way, it seems to me, I can't put my finger on it exactly, but in some way, you are sitting on a gold mine. In some way, this that you've done can be monetized in a non-offensive way. And I always think now, because, you know, I work for myself. I don't get a salary from anybody. I always think entrepreneurially. I think about marketing. And so I look at what you've done and I say, there's got to be something you can do with this. So I want to have you back on a year from now. I want you to report to me on what you did. You got it?
That sounds good. I love talking to you about this stuff because I'm kind of, my brain is kind of flipping into entrepreneurship zone too, and I'm having fun kind of figuring this stuff out. So I always enjoy your support, and it's always a blast to talk to you.
All right, look, this is gonna be rolling around the back of my head till I think of the brilliant idea for you. But it's there, man. It's there. I mean, I love your stuff. A lot of people love your stuff, and you know, even when they criticize you once in a while, they keep coming back and watching more. You know, they can't stop watching. Would you mind giving our listeners a sneak preview of what you have planned for next Monday? Are you allowed to do that?
Oh, man, you know, I don't actually, let me think. This is airing this week. I think we're actually going to talk about Linkbait. I think if anybody's on Facebook recently, you've seen a lot of those, like, 10 reasons that you should XYZ. Number 2 made me laugh so hard, like those kind of links. We're going to kind of poke fun at that kind of stuff.
Nice.
That's my hope, at least.
Okay, good, good, good. All right, well, Josh, we'll get people over there, I hope, to joshjamestaylor.com. And thanks for being here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Wood. It's always a pleasure.
All right, everybody. I am doing a survey just so I can get a sense of what the listeners are enjoying regarding your favorite guests that I've had on this program or favorite episodes that we've done, whatever. And I'm doing that over on my Facebook page. And to follow me on Facebook or to like my page, go to facebook.com/Thomas E. Woods. Do not look for me as Tom Woods on Facebook. Or just go to tomwoodsradio.com and click like on the Facebook widget there so you can add your voice to the conversation. I've gotten quite a few responses, but I'd like as many as I can get. I want to know what guests are your favorites, so please let me know over on Facebook, facebook.com/Thomas E. Woods. I've got events coming up in Idaho, Kansas, Arkansas, Florida, and Virginia. For details on those, check out my personal site, tomwoods.com, and the events page there, tomwoods.com/events. Tomorrow, one of my most popular guests, Scott Horton. I've had him on only one time, but you guys just went berserk for him, as I knew you would. And by the way, I love hearing people say, you know, I haven't heard of half of your guests, and they all turn out to be great. That's exactly what I'm shooting for. We've got so many unsung people in this movement, and I want as many of them as possible to be known by you guys. So join me tomorrow for Scott Horton. Thanks for listening.
The Tom Woods Show.